Hi everyone, this is Cassidy McFadden back for another episode of Poet Voice. So I believe we are on episode 8, and for today's episode I wanted to talk about the possibilities and drawbacks of AI. So this coming week I'm actually bringing in a writer and a researcher named Dashiell Carrera for a discussion and Q&A about AI. Dashiell is a writer, he's a novelist, a human-computer interaction researcher, and sound media person as well. So he has written one novel, The Deer, which came out in 2022, and he is also at Conjunctions on the fiction side, and his research in AI has taken him to the MIT Media Lab as well as Harvard's Meta Lab. And he's currently a PhD candidate in computer science at the University of Toronto, where his dissertation focuses on how AI language models will affect North American literature. So I wanted to bring in Dash. He is a friend of mine, but given the increasing focus on AI, I thought it would also be useful to speak to someone who's more sort of informed about the possibilities of AI than I am. So I wanted to use today's podcast to just sort of touch on some of the main issues, and then this talk will be on Thursday, January 16th. We can maybe bring some of these questions to Dash and see what he has to say. In my experience as a poet, as a fiction writer, I must confess I have not found AI to be all that useful, and maybe that's something that some of you can relate to. I think particularly for poetry, you know, when ChatGPT first came out, I think probably everyone was trying it out, you know, seeing, or at least curious, seeing what this large language model could do. It was immediately clear, like, ChatGPT and other large language models are not really equipped to handle the way that poets think, or even the syntax, musicality involved in writing poetry. A lot of the poetry that comes out of AI is, you know, it's rhyming couplets, it's filled with cliches, it's really painful. So unless, you know, I think I remember seeing people sort of trading some of these, write a poem about, you know, a jar of pickles, and sort of sharing that prompt on social media early on. But AI for poetry was kind of a one-trick pony, like, look how zany this is, but not actually, you know, nothing can really replace the poet's mind, as well as, I think, poetry as a way of looking at the world. AI does not really grasp that sort of poetic method or tool that so many of us have worked, you know, years to develop and hone. So AI for poetry gets a failing grade. AI for artwork is probably even more egregious. I also remember on social media people sharing headshots of themselves, or put us in a movie poster and sharing these sort of glammed up images, these yassified images of themselves, or anime images. It's almost like a filter that they would put on their own photo and then share these images around. I remember that being a trend for a couple days or a week. But I think pretty soon it was pretty clear that, you know, that wasn't really giving us a whole lot other than a little bit of a party trick for a week or two. And beyond that, you know, if you want to see yourself as an anime figure, why not pay an actual, you know, creative person in your life? You can commission someone to draw you and actually give work to somebody rather than stealing their work, right? Because these AI models sort of steal all the images on Google and then create an image based on that. In Toronto recently, a new restaurant caught some flack for putting a mural on their wall. I think it's on Bloor Street, but it turned out that the mural, rather than paying somebody to, you know, paint a mural, design a mural, the mural was AI, and it's just like a piece of plastic that they taped to the wall, essentially, and the mural is pretty terrible. The mural itself, you know, the hands, there's like 8 fingers on one hand, and the other hand, AI does not totally grasp realism, so it's just a huge mess, and it's clear that AI made it, and it's just offensive that they didn't hire somebody to actually design a mural. So that's sort of, yeah, AI for poetry, AI for art. I am familiar with writers who have experimented with AI. So Shawn Michaels' novel, Do You Remember Being Born, it's about a poet, sort of this dystopian book, and it does use AI. Sheila Hetty in The New Yorker published her collaboration with the Chat AI platform. So there are sort of artists who are using AI, experimenting with AI. You know, I think Sheila Hetty, she's always open to experimenting with new forms. I don't think her project, you know, it's interesting to take a look at it. But if every Sheila Hetty book that came out was AI, I might sort of miss her own brain. And I think the charm of this project is that it is her brain sort of collaborating with the AI. It's not just feeding a prompt into AI and seeing what you get. So something that we're going to talk about as well is some of the negative aspects of AI for creativity, right? Any of us who have, you know, worked in a university or even maybe you've tutored a high school student, it's just rampant. You know, you give an assignment and they just immediately feed it into AI. So they're not actually learning anything and they're really just, you know, harming themselves. The devil's advocate would say, well, in the real world, in the office environment, if they go on to work, you know, everyone uses AI to send emails. So they are essentially training themselves for the workforce if that involves using AI. And I think that's just a really discouraging and an unfortunate way to look at the world. Just because everyone else is doing it, you know, then we have a situation where you're writing an email or your AI wrote the email, they're going to get a response from someone else's AI. It's just two robots talking to each other instead of actually having a human conversation. So I find that deeply upsetting. Rumor has it, for grant applications, more and more artists and writers are using AI to write their grant applications. Not only that, but the grant jurors are using AI to read the application. So you're submitting an AI application, they're using AI to scan it. I can't think of anything more depressing. Job applications, you're using AI for your resume, for your cover letter. They're using AI to scan all the responses. This can't end well. Like, I don't see this going anywhere. It's just degrading us and our humanity. So that's just one part of the negative aspects. We also have the environmental impacts that are, you know, really devastating. ChatGPT uses such a high amount of water, which I didn't know. I guess it's to cool down the systems that are producing all this fluff and all this terrible poetry and work emails, something that's all the more devastating when we consider the recent wildfires in LA. So I looked up a recent study by the Washington Post and researchers at the University of California, and they looked at ChatGPT specifically and even to perform like basic functions. So to write a single 100 word email, which is like one paragraph, uses about 18 ounces of water, so a bottle of water. So sending one email per week over the course of a year could use 27 liters of water. And that's just sending these short little emails. And I know some people are sending, you know, 100 emails a day. So times that by 100 and times that by all the days in the year. And it's, you know, it makes no sense. Why are we wasting water when there's these devastating wildfires on AI? So the study also found that if 1 in 10 Americans did that, ChatGPT would require more than 435 million liters of water. And that's equivalent to the water usage of all Rhode Island households for a day and a half. So that was in the Washington Post. They also looked at the energy levels, which were not very flattering either. Researchers found that the same, if we say 100 word email, uses 0.14 kilowatt hours of electricity, which is the equivalent of powering 14 LED light bulbs for 1 hour. So if you did that once a week for a year, that would be 7.5 kilowatt hours. So that's, you know, the waste of electricity, the waste of water, the environmental impact, effects of climate change. I actually have a classmate from Iowa and her husband who have two young children who lost their house in the wildfires. They lost everything. They had to evacuate. And, you know, these aren't just abstract ideas. It's happening in LA, happening across the world. We also know about the fact that large language models might lean towards authoritarianism, and studies find AI is inherently racist as well. Like when you ask it a question, apparently some of the responses are a little suspect, so which makes sense because AI is responding, it's developing its responses according to everything that's been fed into it. So if a lot of what it's sort of combing the internet for are coming from these right-wing or authoritarian websites, then it makes sense that that's sort of what it would spew out. All of this is to say I am skeptical of AI, but I don't want to write it off completely. I am still curious about the generative possibilities of AI for writers, for all of us, because I am thinking of the argument, you know, people always bring up this argument that this is how we treated photography, right? When that art form was developed, everyone thought, you know, the days of being an artist were over because why would you even draw anymore when photography can take a photorealistic picture in a second? You know, what's the point? It's going to ruin painting. It's going to ruin drawing. You know, we're all doomed. And that ended up not being the case because photography is an art form in itself. And of course, photorealism is only one type of art, right? It can't do like abstraction or other forms of art, or, you know, it can't accomplish everything that an artist can do, and it's more of a tool. So I'm wondering, okay, is AI the same? I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical. Also, photography does not quite have the same environmental impact. I know some of the chemicals used in photography are quite harmful, but I'm sure it's not near the amount of water being used or electricity being used. So I'm really excited to bring in Dash to talk to him a little bit. Based on our conversations, he is equally as skeptical as I am and as a lot of us are, but he's looking at it from a researcher's point of view and sort of looking at what, if any, the generative possibilities might be. So before Christmas, I actually had the opportunity to participate in one of his research studies. It was a week long, and he developed an app or a tool based on the writer Nabokov's cards. So Nabokov, you know, he wrote Lolita. He was apparently famous for using note cards to write his books. So he would write down notes for his ideas, you know, as he went about his day, and he would shuffle them. So he would continually like write down ideas, write down a paragraph, and keep shuffling these cards on his note cards. And once he compiled, I don't know, like 100 cards or more, and once he had shuffled them in an order that felt really generative and exciting, then he would begin to write his novel. So this, the AI cards study that I participated in, it sort of took that as inspiration, and it basically was an app where you have these note cards on screen and you can fill them with words, sentences, ideas, and then the AI, the large language model, will put them together in a new order. So it will do the ordering for you, and the idea is that maybe that will lead to some generative possibilities that you hadn't considered and might help you as a generative tool for your writing. So we were to use the Nabokov cards every day for an hour, and then at the end of the week we had a little debriefing about it. So I think it was a cool app, and I like trying new things. It kind of felt like a video game in a way, or solitaire on the computer, to try to shuffle the cards in such a way that you get an interesting result. It sort of felt like that, but I didn't find it too useful, particularly with poetry. I was, you know, I would give it like a line of poetry or a couple lines, ask it or click on it so it would shuffle these, and the results were pretty bad. You know, I had a lot of the cliches, a lot of the rhyming, a lot of sort of repetition. So some of, I don't know, for whatever reason, the AI, the large language model, just really wanted to use the same syntax over and over, even when I would, you know, reshuffle it and sort of push it towards using more unusual syntax or not just repeating itself. Yeah, I didn't find it too useful. Probably it was, I think it was more effective those instances when I was working on my novel and I was phrasing something in a really awkward way. So, okay, I fed it into the app and tried to see if it would reword it in a way that flowed better. And it was pretty decent at that. So I think it thrived more at sort of straightforward prose sentences. But even in those instances, I would catch it, you know, inserting cliches or using this type of repetitive syntax or idioms. You know, it would keep saying like, at the end of the day, or to the surprise of everyone, or bizarrely, you know, I would put two very distinct or discrete ideas together and it would emphasize how bizarre it was. And I'm like, yeah, it is, but I want you to lean into that. You know, I don't want you to just comment on how bizarre it is, but let's go into that. And it didn't really want to do that. So it's possible it was user error. You know, I'm not an expert at using these sorts of ChatGPT. I haven't spent too much time with it. It could be user error. It could be that I didn't, you know, spend enough time getting to know it, but I didn't find it particularly useful or generative. And the parts that I did find useful, like rewording my sentences for me, I'm pretty sure that's just what a standard ChatGPT or AI large language model would do anyway. So given the amount of water and electricity, I don't really want to become reliant on ChatGPT or other large language models. So I think I'm okay just, you know, spending my own hours toiling away at these sentences until they sound a bit better. And knowing that a real human, you know, maybe it took the human much longer than it would have taken the AI, but at least, you know, I can say that I wrote every word in my book. So that's sort of where I'm standing. I'm super curious if other folks have different AI experiences. If you want to come to the talk on Thursday, if you have a question about AI or you've thought about this a little bit more than I have, please come on Thursday and, you know, we can bring it to Dash and see what he has to say. Yeah, and we can, I think, talk about some of these ideas as well as some of the other research that Dash has done in addition to the Nabokov card study. So hopefully I'll see some of you on Thursday.